word will give you wisdom for tomorrow. Today, His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know He's sovereign in His ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider His word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word as we continue our study with Jesus in the Vineyard. Yes, we're in John chapter 15 and continuing a study. As we walk along with Jesus, they had been in the upper room, and now they had left the upper room and were walking just outside the gates of Jerusalem, down through a vineyard, and Jesus is talking to His disciples. We're going to be in John chapter 15, and so I invite you to join us there today as we consider His Word. While you're looking up the Scripture, I want to remind you about our website at www.considerhisword.org. You'll find a number of things there. One thing we'd like for you to do is go to the Contact tab and drop us a line. Let us know where you're hearing our program today. And anyone who contacts us while we're doing this series, and I still have a few left, we've sent out a few, but I have a few left of the Little John booklets. These are the Gospel of John. It'd be a great companion to go along with this Bible study. And we'll send them to you free. There's two ways you can get them. Here, contacting us through the website, again, considerhisword.org, or you can write to us at our mailbox. And that would be Consider His Word at P.O. Box 550-456, in Davie, Florida. The zip is 33355. Let me give that to you one more time. Consider His Word, P.O. Box 550-456, in Davie, Florida, at 33355. We're looking forward to hearing you. So write to us. Get your free little pocket Gospel of John today. One other announcement I want to make, and we're excited about this. We just got word from our publisher that our book, also called Consider His Word, is coming out in a hardback edition. Now, it's not quite available yet, but as soon as we get it, we'll let you know, and you'll be able to find that at the website as well. For now, you can find the paperback, and I think for the fall, we're going to be offering a special on that too. So go to the website, considerhisword.org, and there you'll find all this information. You'll also find the previous sessions here in John chapter 15. You can go back and listen to them if you'd like to. Today we're going to look at John 15 with Jesus in the vineyard. I want to begin reading at verse 1, kind of put everything in context, and read down through verse 8. Today we're going to be particularly looking at the last two or three verses of this passage. As they walk along, Jesus said to His disciples, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. I want you to notice that Jesus is writing this, or he's talking to his disciples as he's saying these words. And I think that clarifies up for us a little bit what Jesus means to abide in him. I think those who are abiding are people who are saved. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. We get everything that we need from him. He said, again in verse 5, that without me, ye can do nothing. Without Jesus, we cannot grow. Without Jesus, we cannot bear fruit. Without Jesus, we cannot have eternal life. And so we get everything that we need. And I believe that when we abide in Christ, when we're born again in him, that he supplies everything we need. Everything for life, everything for living. He provides the nourishment and the energy and everything. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. Now, I want to especially look down at verse 6, because he then talks about those who do not abide in him. And I personally think that these are people who are not saved. Now, some disagree. Some say, well, these are really saved people, but they're not really living for the Lord. But you see, I think that if they were really saved, that they would not be separated. And they would not be, as he said here, that they would be cast forth as a branch and withered and cast into the fire. We know that the fire is reserved for those who are not saved. Again, in verse 6, he said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. I mean, gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Notice that if they're separated from the branch, that they die. That's why he's talking about being withered. That they die, they dry up, there's no life, there's no fruit, there's nothing there, and they're taken away, and they're burned. And so those who are born again, now again, he's talking to his disciples, those who were born again, who knew him as their Savior. And so I think those who are cast away are people who are not saved. Now you may disagree with that, and that's fine. I'd like to know what your thoughts are. So send me a note or send me an email through the website. Now let's go on. Because you see, the next thing he talks about is the purpose. There are three things that are the result of abiding in Christ. The first thing he mentions twice. He mentions up in verse 5, he said that we would bear much fruit. Now the question is, what is this fruit he's talking about? You know, the Bible talks of fruit in several different ways. We talked about this a little bit before. The Bible speaks of the fruit of righteousness, which is the righteousness that we have in Christ, that we're living righteous in him, that we are right with him, and that we're living right. Secondly, fruit can be people who are born again. When we lead someone to Christ, sometimes they're referred to as fruit. You can go and reference the sower of the seed for that. I think here that he's talking about righteousness. And so one of the results of abiding in Christ is the fruit of righteousness that comes out in our life. When you are genuinely saved, you really desire to live for the Lord. When you sin, I believe the Spirit of God will tell you, and if you continue in sin, God will chastise you to bring him back to himself. And so one of the results of abiding in the vine is to have abundant fruit. He mentions it again down in verse 8. He said, here my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. And so he mentions that twice. The second thing he says is that our prayers are answered. At the end of verse 7, he said, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, I believe that if we're walking with Christ and we're in Christ, that we have a relationship with him where we can ask him anything. We can ask him and he will answer. In fact, he told us, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. And so we can call upon him and we can ask him. Now, I believe that when we are abiding in him, that his will is our will. John said later in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So there's a matter of not only praying, but praying for in his will. And if we're walking with Christ, and we're close to Christ, we're going to know what that will is, and he's going to give us to us. Now, the third thing that he said is that God is glorified. God is glorified by our fruit. God is glorified by our righteousness. God is glorified in our life. I believe that this was our purpose from the beginning, that we should glorify God in everything. And if we're abiding in Christ, he will be glorified. He'll be glorified by our fruit. He'll be glorified by our life. And he will be glorified. Now, to be glorified means that God is lifted up and God is given all the credit and all the glory that belongs to him. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." I believe that this is the whole reason that Christ saves us, is so that we can glorify the Father. Read Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, and you'll see that there, that when we're saved, we glorify the Father. Everything Jesus did was to glorify God. And he says here that as long as we're abiding in him, that he will be glorified in us. And he'll be glorified, he said, by our fruit. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I think only by abiding in Christ can we genuinely glorify God in everything. I think that we ought to glorify God in our prayer. That when we pray, we ought not pray selfish prayers like, "Give me, give me, give me, give me," but like Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done." And when God's will is done in us and God's work is done through us, again, by abiding in the vine, God is glorified. And that's what our purpose is. You know, if you can get a hold of this truth, that your life is not about you. It's about glorifying God through the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify him in everything. When you make a decision, do you make that decision to glorify God? Or do you make it to, as James says, to consume it upon your lusts? When you seek God's will, it's for his glory. Certainly, God wants you to enjoy life. Jesus said, "I came to give them life and give it to them more abundantly." But you see, in the abundant life, God is glorified. Even in the simplest things. Again, 1 Corinthians, he said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. I think eating is one of the most selfish things that we do. We get hungry. Boy, we want to eat. We want to eat now. You know, that's one of the things that fasting does, is help us to put God first and seeking him first. And so even in our eating, we ought to glorify God. In our relationships, it ought to glorify God. In our daily life, every day as you wake up in the morning, your first cause ought to be to glorify God. And when we abide in the vine, when we're abiding in Christ, God will be glorified. We'll bear much fruit. God will hear and answer our prayer, and he'll be glorified in us. Our time is gone for today. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next week when once again we open the scripture and consider his word.
Consider his word.